I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A, and we are welcoming a woman who's based in the Twin Cities down in Minneapolis, Chastity Brown. Welcome, Chastity.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I've been hearing some great things about you. I think you played at the Bayfront Blues Festival this past year. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, we did.
And was that your first time at the Blues Fest?
Yeah.
Okay.
First time and a good one at that, so.
Well, I heard good things about the show, so. And let's get started with the song, and then we'll come back and chat about your new album and whatever else you've been up to. And
cool, sounds good.
What do you want to start with?
Start with one called When We Get There.
Grab my shirt and a pack of smokes, heading out, don't know where to go. Just gonna lay the waste with me. Now I'm driving down a dirt road, out in the middle and I'm all alone. There's bound to be a change in me. When I'm connected in the strangest way, the baby was laying on her knee. The bill collector, he came by today, boarded up what they couldn't pay. Her heart was set on which way when they leave. I couldn't handle what I thought I saw, lit a cigarette and took a draw. She was grabbing his hand and said to him, when we make it through, when we make it through, things will be different. On a star, but the night is dark, it didn't day clear. That's the way when your vision's blurred and your pain beats your hurt. Feel the calm coming over you. When you make it, when you make it through, things will be different. It will be, it will be, it will be different.
That's Chastity Brown live from Studio A, When We Get There, from her new album, Back Road Highways. And it's pretty brand spanking new, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, it is darn new. The single just got released at 8 a.m. this morning, which is after you. And yeah, Duluth is the first to hear this album. So
great.
We haven't played it for anyone yet. Tonight will be the first time.
Well, it's a great album. Really enjoying it. Now, since this is your first visit with us, we've got to get all the background.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you're based in Minneapolis, right? Mm-hmm. But you're originally from Tennessee? Grew up there?
Yeah, I grew up in Northwest Tennessee in a small town, even smaller than Duluth, a little country town with a couple stoplights and a super Walmart. And then kind of floated around the state and the East Coast for a while. I lived in Knoxville for 5 years, which is where I started playing music, in public anyway, and then migrated to the Midwest.
And, you know, whenever somebody moves up here from somewhere warm, we always say, "What?
Why?
What made you do that?"
Yeah.
I'm sure you get that a lot.
yeah, but this is like... one of the things I say when I get that question is, in all my traveling just around America, we are such a fascinating and diverse country. And I had never been to the Midwest. I didn't know anything about it. A friend of mine was coming up for grad school, and her parents sent me the city pages and different music publications and bands and stuff of that were based in Minneapolis. And I was like, whoa, there is like a legitimate artistic scene going on. And that was 7 years ago, and I'm still liking it, still loving it.
Well, that's great.
Yeah,
that's great. And I read somewhere that your first experience with music was mainly in the church, is that right?
Yeah. Anyone that's been raised in the South knows that the Bible Belt is thick and heavy down there, and so you know, we didn't get a bar in my town after, I think the town's about 115 years old. It just got its first bar 3 years ago. So, the church is pretty prominent.
We usually have as many churches as bars
in
any
exactly,
given town. So
exactly.
That's why I'm, you know,
it's a good placeholder to know what it is that I, what my younger experience was. But, I grew up in a full gospel church, which is, again, different from the Midwest, which is predominantly Lutheran,
Scandinavian,
based and stuff. Mm-hmm. But from that, that's where I learned early on about responding to a song emotionally and allowing a song musically to change based off of how you are emotionally or like where the emotions of the song are taking you. So I got some good lessons from playing in that scenario.
Cool. I think the thing that I read also said that you kind of didn't have that much exposure to popular music.
No.
At that time. So I'm curious about your exposure to that and what that was like when you first started branching out a little bit, and what music maybe you first got into.
I was probably at like 19, 20. Working at a pawn shop in Knoxville, and naturally there's just thousands of CDs at pawn shops, so I just started racking it up. And I had, at that time, like when I was about 19, I'd went to seminary school, I got kicked out, so I left my formal training of like religion and the kind of parameter that it set up as far as like what I listened to musically, and I was digging into everything. Like, of course, going old school, I think, is always the way to go, because a lot of my friends grew up on what I first started digging in on, which was Jimi Hendrix, Van Morrison, different saxophone players, Grover Washington, even like Janis Joplin. I'd never really like listened to until mm-hmm. I was like 20. And then, yeah, it just, I just went wild from there. So, and I feel like I'm still digging and trying to like catch up to folks who like were raised on Pink Floyd or even things like that, you know?
There's so. You always have the joy, more joy of discovery that,
yeah.
anyway, because there is so much that you have to catch up
yeah,
on.
Yeah. Right.
That's kind of fun that way. So at what point did you, and what did you start with? Did you sing first? When did you start playing guitar? When did you start writing songs?
Well, I started writing, my first instrument was a saxophone, and I played that in band, in marching band, and at church. And then I guess around 14, I talked to my mom, literally talked her into like getting me a guitar, and just told her that it was just imperative. Like, there's no way I could live the rest of my like young life. And so I started writing songs, you know, like church songs or little ditties and stuff, none of which I hope anyone ever hears. Because it's super dramatic, like, you know, my first breakup. It's just, like, ridiculous. And then, yeah, like, again, at, like, 19 was when I, you know, you're out on your own. You're, like, paying your own bills. You start paying attention to politics and the world at large. And that's when songs just started coming, as I was just trying to process what it was to be a young adult, what it was to... for sexuality and what I thought about things like that. And so, and still even now, I think a lot of my writing is in response to my surroundings or what I'm experiencing. And it's a little more broader than it used to be, a lot narrowed focus, but, that's kind of where it all started.
Okay. Well, let's hear another song and then let's, talk about your latest album, which is, I think it's your fourth album, right?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yeah.
And you're first with a record label, which must be fun.
It is. It's fun. It's a learning curve. It's a challenge. It's an amazing opportunity. But I've been playing out live for 10 years, and that's why I try to, when I get opportunities to speak like this, or when I'm like talking to young people and they like, oh, wow, you're on a label. I'm like, well, you know, it didn't just like, it wasn't like overnight, and mm-hmm. It's not Sony Music, you know, it's not some big hoo-ha. It's an independent, strong label. But it's still like we're all a working team. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, I'll jump into the next tune. This one's called Lift Us.
Headed down a road, going nowhere, but I didn't even know, you know, I didn't even care, but along the way came a word I was needing to hear. Oh Lord, can lift us, talking about love, real love. Lord, can lift us, talking about love, real love. Only Lord, daddy, only Lord, daddy, only Lord. Alone, drowning in a sea of people, I will throw you a rope, pull you to shore, so you can feel there is a love can lift us, talking about love, real love, love. Talking about love, real love. Holy, lonely, lonely, holy, lonely, 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 lonely. ever put down on the floor. You ain't got nowhere to go. Keep looking up, gotta keep on looking. Got to keep on looking. Long, long, long. Candy and dust. Talking about love, real love. Long candy and dust. I'm talking about.
Chastity Brown, live from Studio A. And let's talk about the new album. Backroad Highways is the name of it. And like I said, it's your fourth. You made this in Nashville, is that right?
Yep, that's correct. Now, at a place called Helsinki South Studios. The producer, Paul Bono. We recorded most of it at his place.
And now, this is after you got signed to the record label, right?
Yes.
So yep. they kind of helped with the recording and the all that, made it happen, basically?
Yeah. I was introduced to Paul by the label owner, and by the executive producer of the record. Him and I met in New York, and he was like, I think I should introduce you to some of my friends down south. And Paul and I got hooked up, and we're initially working on a remix of one of my songs from a previous record. And in midst of working on that, late one night or early one morning, we ended up jamming on a song that's actually now the opening track to the record called House Been Burning. And the label heard that, and they were just like, stop everything that you're doing and record your own music. Like, we don't, the remix is on the back burner. Like, we just want your songs the way you play them. And so, yeah, that was a total shift of gears. Even going down to just do a project like that I was working on was very out of my element, because I play, you know, roots music. And, but I was just like, what the heck? Like, whatever. Yeah, let's do something out of the box and just create, have fun with it. And, you know, so yeah, it just was a snowball effect in the most beautiful way to get to do this.
And who were the people that played on the record, and were they part of your band already, or were there other people brought in, or how did that go?
Robert Mulrennan, who's the guitar player in the band, he flew down, a good couple of times, and he's all over the record. And then for the first time ever, I worked with studio musicians, and not until after working with the producer Paul it was about 6 months before before other folks started entering the scene, which was really good for me, because I'd never worked with a producer before. I'd never, like I said, worked with studio musicians. The fellow that's in the studio now, him and I have been playing together for 5.5 years. So it was super foreign, and I was just freaked out. But Blair Masters, who is the organ and piano player that's on the record, he was the first studio session. We walked into his studio. He uploaded the song. He listened to it, wrote down the music charts immediately, and then listened to it again and tracked it. And that was it. Like, then we were like on to the next song. Mm-hmm. And I was like trying to be cool. Like, first of all, I'm like in this studio, there's like, you know, Grammys on the walls. He's been a long time organ and piano player for Garth Brooks. And, so I was like, you know, just trying to just be as cool as possible, but it was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And the other guys, Anton Nesbitt, and then Kyle Whalum. They were the bass players. Bernard Bell was the drummer. And all of these guys, like, that's what they do for 40 hours a week. They go in, they track their songs, they bust out of there. And there's no, I think sometimes playing with a band, there's so much diplomacy and like, well, should we do this? Should we do that? And with studio musicians, there's no conversation like that. You kind of tell them the overall aesthetic. And I told the guys personally, like, my background, what's important to me. And, yeah, they just laid it down. It was like, it really raised the bar in my world of like music. It raised the bar in how I play and how I communicate with my musicians. Huge, huge learning curve. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it's a really good experience, though.
Yeah. It's so exciting. It's like you feel like you have your craft down and you know what's up in the way you want to create or what have you. And then you're exposed to something and then you're just like, holy sh-, you're just, and then it just expands the vocabulary of like how you want to express yourself. And that's totally what the experience of working with studio guys did. So it was awesome.
And you mentioned that your first instrument was saxophone. You also play piano and banjo and harmonica on here.
So, yeah.
So you're pretty multi-instrumental, sounds like.
Yeah. Whatever the song needs. After playing the acoustic for so long, it really helps to vary it and see how the piano will evoke a song or how the banjo will evoke a song. So it really helps my songwriting to just hear a different timbre for writing.
And I want to ask about your voice too, because you really have a wonderful voice, I think. And it seems like you know how to use it, you know, like with dynamics and just mm-hmm. adding little touches. Is that something that just came naturally to you, or is that something that you kind of worked on?
Oh, yeah. I feel like the gift is the only natural part, like just being gifted to sing. Mm-hmm. But past that, it's taken a lot of work. Early on, when I went to college and, although I didn't finish college, but for like, high school and stuff, I was in a Tennessee State choir. I sang very formal type music, whether it be gospel songs or even Latin. And so from that, the main thing you learn in that is like breathing correctly. And then just the past 2 years, I started challenging myself on broadening my range and being conscious of like using my voice as an instrument. And there's all these different things that affect that, like the vowel sound and, you know, volume and just different techniques. But I for sure am constantly pushing myself to do exactly what I hear. Which is very frustrating at times, but I see, especially from this record, between this record and the last record, High Noon Teeth, I feel like I've grown quite a bit, and that's really cool. But for sure, it's been a lot of work, and I'm still working on it, just so, because sometimes when you really start feeling stuff, then you can start singing sloppy, and so it's even a task to remain open to that emotion that happens, but also control the fact that I'm playing an instrument, which just happens to be my voice, and use skill within being emotional.
Well, we have time for one more song. What do you want to wrap up with here?
I'm going to wrap up with a sweet one. And I'll save the blues for this evening for when it's nighttime, but this one's called Slow Time.
It's a blue-eyed Sunday, Monday afternoon. And I'm out here waiting for you to come on. I like it when you say that you don't believe what they tell us. You'll find your candy takes my slow time just thinking, so my words don't come out right where you need them. But I like it when you don't believe what they tell us. You'll find your own questions, and I like it when
Chastity Brown, live from Studio A, and that's another one from that new album, Back Road Highways. Well, thank you so much, Chastity.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate y'all's support.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Cameron Flackney, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, with additional support provided by The Playlist, Thursday nights at 9 on PBS North on WDSE WRPT.